Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It is the 4th of Rabi'ul Akhir 1446, and it's corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 8th of October 2024. Let's welcome our Honorable Hazrat Mulana Musa Lahir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In a long time.
Gee, Mulana, it feels exceptionally long. And yet, it's just been a week, but I believe Mulana has been on a travel which we're going to discuss later, inshallah. Mulana, how's your health? Everything good on your side?
Alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, karam, and ihsan, all is good, alhamdulillah.
And Cape Town, how's Cape Town?
Cape Town has finally started to see some beautiful summer days. It gets exceptionally hot here during the summer, but alhamdulillah, this is what we look forward to.
And the 7th of October in Cape Town, was there any fights or any of that sort? Because
so, Maulana, I'm hidden in a very quiet and peaceful suburb. I prefer it that way also, because we don't get much exposure to what is going on. But I do believe there were some marches and things that took place and what have you. Allah knows best.
Inshallah. So, Mulana Sahib, we said we're going to discuss a few issues today. And one was about the television. And Mulana can just give us a bit of an introduction, inshallah.
Gee. So, Mulana, I think it's been about 2 Tuesdays. This would have been the third Tuesday since our last discussion surrounding the harms of television. And I think also just to put the record straight with regards to the program that had taken place in the masjid in Johannesburg, which was televised, I was definitely misinformed of females' pictures being broadcast on the television. However, the fact that the television and the cameras were brought into the masjid, our view remains the same, that it is still completely haram. Now, Maulana, before we go into that aspect of Islamic television, you know, television on itself, right, and I'm talking about now, there is no such thing as Western television and Islamic television, because television is television. So what is shown on the television box, this is what is of grave concern. It dulls the minds of children. Right? You know, on a Monday, every Monday, I have this challenge with the students in the maktab. They come in, for lack of a better term, all babalats, you know, like they don't know what is the ceiling and what is the floor. They don't know. They're completely oblivious of what is going on around their surroundings. And I know that the effects of this year is because of the cell phone and watching all the YouTube and cartoons and whatever it may be. And you find that the entire day goes just to try and refocus the children. Now, if it has such a negative effect on children, what type of effect does it have on adults? Adults that have what is regarded as a nafs, which can be led in a correct manner, if tamed correctly, or in an evil manner. So you find the immorality, the immodesty, the sexuality, all of these things being broadcasted. And whether it's, you know, sometimes people will say, no, but I'm just keeping the TV for news or for to watch a soccer game or a cricket game or a rugby game. But the reality is all of these things are tainted, because with the news comes the news reporters. Right. So you've got male news reporters, you've got female news reporters who are, you know, dressed to expose. And then you've got music that is coming in. You've got in the sports arena, you've got dances that are there, you've got music, they will show the spectators, and sometimes you'll even hear the commentators, you know, making comments about female spectators or male spectators in an immoral and immodest manner. So television as a whole is something that breeds fitna. It breeds all of these immoral and evil thoughts within a person, be it male or female. Be it male or female. And this is why you find the ulama-i kiram are so strong and so steadfast. You know, from years ago already, you would hear the ulama, they would say, take the TV and throw it out. The big box, you know, that time it was nice and fat. Now it's gone on a slimming diet and whatever it may be, take it and throw it out. And alhamdulillah, by the barakah of many, many majalis, so many people have acted and made amal on that day. However, in today's time, there is a camouflage that is taking place. And we need to recognize this as a camouflage. Under the garb of Islam, this is now being propagated. So, you know, Maulana, when you speak to people about Islamic or so-called Islamic television, they'll tell you two things. One is that you need to come up with the time. You know, the time demands that you need to use media to your advantage. I have no problem using media to your advantage as long as it is within the boundaries of Sharia. You see, we all have cell phones, all of us. If you utilize the cell phone, and there are so many, mashallah, groups and messages that will share a hadith or inspiration on a daily basis, salah times, you know, when Ramadan comes, they're reminding you what time does Sahri end, what time does Iftar come in, etc., reminding you of the odd nights, reminding you of the auspicious nights. So, alhamdulillah, you're utilizing the technology in a good fashion. Now, when you start utilizing technology in what you are proposing as a good manner, but utilizing haram methods, forbidden methods, that's where it becomes a problem. So that's the first thing they'll tell you, is utilize technology. Come and live up to the time. Number two, they will tell you, but there's a difference of opinion. Right? So I'm not a mufti. I don't want to go into fiqhi masail or anything like that there. We just want to discuss this here on the outset from an islahi and a reformation basis. If any person says that there is a difference of opinion with regards to so-called Islamic television, then my question to those people is that why is it when people speak about the harms of television, you hold the view that it is permissible. We hold the view that it is haram, it is forbidden. So when we speak about the hurmat and the forbiddenness, if that's a word, of television, why do you get offended? If you feel you are on the right path, why are you getting offended? Why are you getting worked up? All we're doing is speaking about your opinion. This is what you feel. And if you feel that this is the correct opinion, then why are you getting offended? Al-ismu ma haka fi sadri. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined what a sin is to us. A sin is that thing which creates some stir in the heart. That, you know what, something doesn't feel right. I am asking any person, fine, to say that during that program, I mentioned this year, we were misinformed that a lady's picture was broadcasted. Fine, it didn't happen. No problem. We accept that. However, let's look at the viewers now. Right? Let's look at the viewers. The people in the thousands and millions of homes around the globe that this is being broadcasted to. Are we ensuring they were males that were broadcasted? That's for sure. Right? Are we ensuring that the audience is only male? How do we ensure that? It's impossible. So you've got a male. Now you'll say, but we're not held responsible for who the audience is, for who the viewers are. But if you are creating this avenue, then should you not take responsibility for it? Let's take, for instance, Molana, all the marches that are taking place around the world when it comes to this whole one-year anniversary and what have you. So we know that in the marches, there's intermingling that is taking place. There's a lot of haram. Sometimes there's music, there's this, there's that. People are dressed all. So it is haram. It is something forbidden. Now we'll say, no, but we need to voice our opinion. That's the first thing we'll say. So voice your opinion in a correct method, not in a haram method. The second thing we'll say, no, but how are we going to segregate the male and female? The fact of the matter is, if we as Muslims are organizing such a march, then the outcome of that march, we have to take responsibility for. You'll find, let me break it down in a much more simpler term. Any of our akabirin that are having any program, be it in a masjid or be it in any venue for that matter, and they have a separate ladies facility, what will it say? Separate ladies facility. It will be completely segregated. Now if they say, I'm just giving an example here, that you know what, this program is open to males and females. Now everyone comes and sits together and we say that we are propagating deen. Who is held responsible for that? For the intermingling, for the zina of the eyes, for the zina of the tongue. Sometimes even shaking of hands takes place. Come here to Cape Town, Molana. It's scary. It's scary. You'll even get a hug sometimes. You have to be so on your on alert that, you know what, you may be going to a home to sympathize, and next thing, somebody comes and hugs you. And you say, hey, what's going on here? I'm talking about a female. So you have to be alert. Hmm. Who is arranging? The person or the company or the organization that is arranging is definitely responsible. So to the television media outlets that are creating these programs, the viewers that are listening or watching, they are male and they are female. I'm asking you, leave the difference of opinion that you are saying there's difference of opinion. Is there any difference of opinion from the Quran, nafs of Quran Sharif, that says a male is not allowed to look at a female and a female is not allowed to look at a male? Is there any difference of opinion? If anyone claims that, then that is immediate kufr. Because this is nafs, this is Quran Sharif. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Then you'll find many a time on these so-called Islamic television stations, a male will be there interviewing a female. So they are sitting in one studio. Now they'll say, okay, but you know what? We're not alone because there's a cameraman there. There's a lighting person there. There's a sound engineer. How do you have a discussion, even if it be on critical issues of Sharia that you claim, with a female in a studio like this here, having an audience of both male and female? How do we justify this? We cannot justify any of this here. You know, Molana, I just want to read out now. you know, people will say, okay, but then it's certain ulama that are talking about this year. And I feel so hurt that at many a time we take the name of our akabirin. These people have given their blood, their sweat, their honor. They've given their lives for deen. Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib Damat Barakatuhu is one of those scholars. He writes, in recent times, we find the development of utilizing the television and other video channels as a medium to spread the message of Islam. Unfortunately and sadly, we find some scholars of Islam choosing to spread the teachings of deen in this way. They host various programs on television or are interviewed on television, or they have had talks and lessons videoed and circulated via the internet. Despite the substantiation given that this is required for the propagation of Islam and for the defense of Islam, not only is this a great compromise in deen, it opens the doors to fitna and sin. This is exactly what we said earlier. And has unwittingly playing right into the hands of the enemies of Islam. We now have our women choosing the same methods of propagation via television, YouTube, etc. So you'll find this sheikha, this muallima, this mudarrisa, this alima, whatever it is, they're creating these YouTube videos and TikTok, all in the name of Islam. All in the name of Islam. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Despite the fact that the ulama are a fortification for the deen of Islam, the measures of protection and security they employ for Islam will have to be in conformity with the requisites of Islam. This is a must. You know, a few years ago, our Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Mutara Sahib Damat Barakatuh, he delivered the Eidgah in Azadville. And this was one of the things he mentioned of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi, that batil zariyo se deen ki tabligh aur da'wat. You cannot spread deen in a batil manner. The television is a batil manner. It's not a haq manner. It's a batil manner. How do you go about and spread something pure from a batil manner? YouTube is a batil manner to create those YouTube videos, animate objects, etc. This is all batil. Now, all in the name of Islam. Today, Islam has become so cheap, so cheap. All in the name of Islam, we are trying to spread this. Maulana, time is running away from me, and there's just one important factor that I want to mention. You know, a lot of people, another personality name that is taken in vain is the late Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And people will say, you know, I was so close with Hazrat. I was so close with Maulana Patel. And he never condemned us. I was so close. So the first thing with regards to your feeling closeness and my feeling closeness to Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, this was one of his kamal, one of his perfection of akhlaq. It wasn't only you and me that felt like we're special to Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. It was everyone. His akhlaq, his welcoming. I don't even have the words to explain it. But Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, he had this thing about himself that anyone who came to sit with him felt like a king in front of him. Because this is how his akhlaq was. So now they will claim that I was close to Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and never did Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh condemn Islamic television. Well, Maulana, we have a clip lined up, as we say, directly from Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. Let's listen to that, and inshallah, we'll share some comments after that.
Inshallah, that clip will play right now.
We are in July. Now, I don't know whether the guns have already been fired for the Gunston. But one thing I do know, that the malaika of death, or the angel of death, he had already drawn his gun. And we don't know on whom he is going to fire that gun, and where he is going to fire that gun. Then also I do not know whether the horses have already galloped for the July. But what I do know is that we are galloping very fast towards our graves. So this is the month of July, in which we'll get all kinds of entertainment endeavors. All kinds of entertainment. Then we also know that the circus normally comes in July. And they make good clowns of us. Those clowns, when they're acting there, they're actually making clowns of us. That we forget that one day we are going to go to our graves. And where are we sitting? What are we looking at? Forget all those stories that we make up. The children wanted to go to the circus, so therefore we took them there to show them the animals. There were days when there was some kind of morality, some kind of decency, some kind of shame and haya, even in the disbelievers. But if you have to look at the circus of today, then I'm sure, well, I do not know what they really show there nowadays, but from the people that have been going and seeing, they say that it is now totally immoral. It is immoral. So now this person who is a Haji Sahab, this person who is a dini worker, this person who is in the Khanqah, in the Majlis of Zikr, this person who is going out in Gush and Talim, this person who is making Umrah upon Umrah, Hajj upon Hajj, he too at that time forgets where he is sitting. When those naked girls are dancing, then at that time he too is staring there in that direction. And when somebody asks him, he says, I took the children to show them the animals. So is that the only place that you could take them to go and show them animals? Who are we bluffing? Who are we fooling? Aren't we behaving like clowns? My brothers, my dear sisters, daag-e hasrat se dil sajaye hain, tab kahin jaake unko paaye. There will be regret in the heart, and this is the majlis of Toba. It is a majlis which I repeatedly say is for Islah of Nafs, myself also included. It's not that we have become stones or we've become iron and steel, that our hearts have become completely barren of any kind of desires. The desires will come up in anybody's heart to go and see those animals and see those areas and see those performances, which may be not immoral, some of them. But then we know that when there's a mixture of immorality and morality, when there's so much of mixture there, when the haram has become dominant factor there, so then we cannot just take that few percent of that which is permissible and say that because there were certain things there which were permissible, that is why I went. This is our biggest mistake, that we immediately look for just those things which are permissible. What percentage of it is permissible? Therefore, I always say, take any mufti of the world who has given fatwa that TV is permissible. So definitely, I mean, it is TV itself is a box, it can't be haram. It's what you see on it that will make it permissible or impermissible. But then, there are so many other factors due to which the ulama have declared it haram. So whatever the fatwas may be, but if we have to take an assessment, if we have to make an assessment, if we have to take an x-ray, or if we have to look at the programs that are being shown on TV, those who are watching TV, so can they take qasam and say that the majority of the programs on the television are those that any Muslim is allowed to watch? We all know that 80% of it is filth and haram. Now how can we have such a thing and then say no, but we just keep it just to watch a little bit of news, watch a little bit of soccer, a little bit of cricket. Now this little bit, where it is going to end up? And then what are our children going to watch? Our wives the whole day when they are at home, what are they going to watch? And then what did it create in the society? Did it bring some kind of happiness, some kind of satisfaction? It improved the quality of the life of the people, improved the character of the people, improved the honesty and truthfulness and morality of the people. Did it do anything like that? Or do we also want to end up like that society in which 11-year-old children and 9-year-old children now pull the trigger on their own fathers and mothers, and they throttle their grannies, and they stab their sisters? Do we also want to end up like that? What other culture is it except the TV culture? And those people themselves are admitting all the harmful effects of it. But yet we will find justification. So it's our nafs that wants to enjoy haram. So it finds all kinds of excuses to make it haram. And you will very easily find also some ulama also will give fatwa because their own nafs is enjoying the haram. So they will give the permissibility. Because in Allah Ta'ala knows the life that the person leads, whether it is private life or public life. So we cannot deceive Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala.
That was Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, mashallah, rahmatullah alayh, giving us some pearls, and that's what we need. And here Maulana Musa is stressing on these points. Maulana, just your comments before we wrap up the program.
Maulana, if you listen very carefully, especially to the last section of what Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayh mentioned, that is what we need to take from. Is that deep down, it's the nafs that is enjoying the fear. To watch the television, to watch this show, whatever it is, whether it's an Ali, whether it's an Appa that is coming on television, it's the nafs that's enjoying it. And hence, in question, I mean, these are our senior ulama that have said it, not my words, in question, those ulama that are giving fatwa of permissibility, they need to look into their nafs. They need to look into their hearts. That are they also the ones that are simply passing the fatwa because they are enjoying it? You know, Maulana, in today's time, this thing about difference of opinion. Wallahi, our deen, we are making it like a joke. 20 years ago, was there any difference of opinion with regards to television? Never. Never. Everyone knew that, you know what, the television is something. Even those that were watching the television knew that, you know what, this is haram. It's haram. Make dua, I can give zakat. But then, now these ulama or whoever it is that is giving fatwa of permissibility or whatever it is for their own nafs desires. How are they leading the community? So now there's a justification. Hey, but you know what? This Alim said it might be permissible. So it's not, you know, it's a gray area. The same thing with insurance. 20 years ago, at any Alim, they'll tell you insurance is completely haram. Today, all of a sudden, difference of opinion. Medical aid, same story. Difference of opinion. Banking sector, this sector, that sector. There's so much of difference of opinions these days in the deen that we don't even know what the real opinion is any longer. We are confusing the confused. So that is a very easy scapegoat. So much so that even when a person gives 3 talaq, we know. Khalas, chapter is closed. But the awam will come to you and they'll say, but you know what, that alim said, that 3 talaq are not 3 talaq. So what I tell the people, they, why are you coming to me? Go away to that alim. Go and take your... But you came and you asked me. And if you've got taqwa, then understand 3 talaq is 3 talaq. So we actually have now started searching, analyzing, and you know, putting our deen under the microscope to find loopholes. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. So that we can create these difference of opinion just to appease the nafs. Nothing more, Maulana. It's only to appease the nafs. So that when I'm doing this wrong, then in the back of my mind, but you know what, who am I to judge? That Maulana is senior. That alim is so elderly, so senior. Today, seniority means nothing. What takes effect is taqwa. Look at the taqwa of that person. Jis jahan mein rahu, jis fiza mein rahu, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. It doesn't matter how young, how elderly in age the alim is or the person you're taking your deen from. Look at the taqwa. That will be your defining answer to say, you know what, this is the person I need to take my deen from. Take my deen from this person. These people, outwardly, they may be senior in age. Allahu alam, I'm just saying. Or they may even be young people. But is there taqwa in their life? Is there sunnah in their life? outwardly, again, like Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi says, sometimes it may even show. But inwardly, in the private life, is something else. And that only Allah Ta'ala is watching. So we must be very, very careful. You know, the time to hold on to deen is like holding on to a hot coal. We have reached that time. We have reached that time. Wallahi, if you hear how Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned that there must be remorse, you can feel the pain in the man's heart, voice, in the man's heart when he's saying this here. Today's time now, we just want to make everything permissible. Never mind, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And anyone who speaks up against it, subhanAllah, they have to come into the firing line. Allah Ta'ala protect us, Maulana. You know, if we're going to continue like this year, one or two generations later, our children are not even going to know that television, be it the, whatever filth is shown on the television, or even be it the so-called Islamic television, is haram. And people will carry on. Deen will get watered down. Then how do we hold on to our deen? Allah Ta'ala protect us.
Ameen, ameen. Mulana, jazakumullah khairan for addressing this. Make dua for us as well. We appreciate your time. And inshallah, we'll continue next week with a trip to Egypt, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. There's a lot to tell you about that, Mulana.